beautiful out there. The Lord has just blessed us continuously. Let's just stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Praise the Lord. If anyone has a prayer request or need, just show by raising your hand. Praise God. And all of you watching live, welcome to First Pentecostal. If you have a prayer request, please put it in the comment section and we will pray with you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, your mercy and your grace and your love. Dear Lord, as we come together this evening, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive your word, dear Lord, ready to just continue to let you just fill us with your spirit and to bless us, dear Lord. We thank you for this opportunity we have, dear Lord, and we thank you for all those in attendance. And, dear Lord, also those watching online. But, dear Lord, right now we want to bring to you each and every prayer request, each and every need. Lord, we thank you for answering the prayers this morning. Lord, we're claiming it in faith. Each and every situation, dear Lord, but we're asking you to be with those that are traveling, those that are sick and shut in, those that aren't able to be with us, dear Lord. We just put them into your mighty hands, Lord. We ask you to touch those in the nursing homes, in assisted living, dear Lord. Help those, the patients, and also those caretakers, dear Lord, strengthen them. And those families that's going through situations right now, dear Lord, we're asking you to strengthen each and every one. Lord, we pray for our community, we pray for our town, dear Lord, this state and our nation. And, dear Lord, we know, dear Lord, that everything is in your will, but, dear Lord, we're reaching up to you. And, dear Lord, may we be obedient children to follow your lead, dear Lord, in everything that we do. We ask you now to bless our pastor, strengthen him, dear Lord. Thank you for him feeling better this evening, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing in him and his family's life. Dear Lord, guide us and direct us to the service tonight. And, dear Lord, just continue just to pour out your spirit. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. We all say...
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 333. I love this song. I'll Fly Away.
Some glad morning when this life is over. Celestial shore, I fly away. Amen. I fly away, oh glory. I fly away when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I fly away when the shadow has grown. I fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown.
Fly away,
in the morning.
Lord. We're so blessed with all the talent that Lord sent this way. Sister Linda, I'm going to call on you first when we get ready to call on special singers. Then Miss Karen and then Miss Tabitha, give y'all a minute to get ready. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering as we do on Sunday nights and each service. We just appreciate all of your love. God, and just to let you know, the Lord is continuing to bless our church, to bless everything that goes forth, all the ministries, and we thank you so much for obeying the Lord and just continue. Don't forget Sister Tabitha's announcement. And when she comes up to sing, I'm going to let you give it one more time, okay? So you can have a mic with you to provide. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering? Yes,
this is a song that just kind of hits home lots of times because we can't help but ask ourselves, because you know, we never, let me rephrase that a little bit. I'm saying three different things here. We never reach the plateau with Christ. We never do. It is an upward struggle every day, and we're not perfect down here. So we keep striving to be perfect. So the title of this song says, "Is My Lord Satisfied with Me?" Y'all worship. One glorious day, Jesus came and he made me whole. He so completely then satisfied my soul. Now as I stand on life's dark and troubled scene, I wonder if he is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied, it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied with me? I Lord, to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what He'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into Thy fold, that I might stand unafraid and move for Thee, that You might be fully satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what He'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what He'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, His smile will say He is satisfied with me.
Absolutely. The Lord be satisfied with us through His grace. Sister Karen, oh, you're bringing up your help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
In heaven above, why'd You pick me to love? Why You love me, I can't understand. There are others more worthy of Jesus than me. Yeah.
So I passed out all of the baby bottles this morning, and a couple others have asked me for a baby bottle. So I go back to training this Wednesday, so I'll try and get some more so a couple of y'all can get your bottles too. But I didn't get a chance to say this morning, but when I was in training this past week, God placed me in a group of ladies that it was meant for me to be there. And every morning before we start our training, we have a devotion. And Sister Kelly that spoke here, she said to tell you you're a good man, Brother Eddie, because she was talking about what you preached on Mother's Day. That was her devotion about the two women, the baby, you know, the one baby died. And I told her, I whispered in her ear, and she said, "You tell Brother Eddie he's a good man." So they were right on cue together. But I learned so much because it's biblically based. I have two big books that I'm having to go through, but all throughout the books, it's scripture after scripture. And all the while I was learning how to talk to these women, God was speaking to me, and he knew exactly what I needed to hear. So God will always put you where he wants you for such a time. Amen. And I'm thankful that God's placed me there. I believe God is going to use me, use my testimony to reach someone else. I told him, I said, I really believe God placed me here. I don't know what God has in store as far as me volunteer, how long I'll be volunteering, or what happens, but I know God's going to use me there. But I wanted to sing this song tonight, The Word of the Lord. You know, I was talking about we can always go to the rock, but our answers are in the Word. Amen. It doesn't matter what we're facing. Go to the Word. Amen.
When you're on your knees daily for a lost son or daughter, when you're sitting by a deathbed and your faith begins to falter, as you pour out your sorrow through tears, you're waiting for words from the voice you long to hear. The word of the Lord will come, God will speak with a still small voice in your time of need. The word of the Lord will come, God will bring strength and hope, healing in his wings. The word of the Lord will come. You wonder at the silence you have cried for so long. You are weak and you're discouraged. You're barely holding on. But he heard you the first time you called. And he who promised will deliver, he won't let you fall. The word of the Lord will come, God will speak with a voice of breath, never ending peace. The word of the Lord will come, God will bring strength and hope, healing in his wings.
What a testimony. Praise God.
Praise the Lord for the word. Aren't you thankful for the word? Amen. What a beautiful song. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I sincerely mean that. The service this morning was wonderful. It's beautiful, Brother Chris, an immaculate message. But you know what? Live stream is good, and I'm thankful for it, but it's just not the same as being here. And I thank God that I was able to be here tonight with you fine folks to worship and praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't it? Amen. I was a little bit somewhat surprised, maybe shocked, maybe I don't know, when Sister Penny come in with two baby bottles at the house. I wasn't really... but thank y'all for clearing that up. I appreciate that so very much. That's a good thing to do. Amen. But my age, I don't need to be given 2 o'clock feedings. Let's do A flat, E flat, B flat. I think Sister Penny asked me this week, did I know the longest bridge in our water in the United States, is it actually Lake Pontchartrain? Was that what it was? Oh, you didn't? She asked me questions she don't know the answer to, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong. But I know that's a long bridge. It's about 20-something miles across. This song says one more river to cross. I hope it's not as long as Lake Pontchartrain. In fact, I think it's going to be a short river, and I think we're soon approaching it. But that's a good thing, because when we cross that river, we're going to leave all these troubles behind. No more sorrows, no more tears. Thank God, no more death either. If you know the song, sing it with me. If you don't, worship and praise the Lord. I've had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifespan. I'm standing alone. The battle gets hard, and just do the best I can. Bust across a million valleys, shed a million tears. When I come to the river of Jordan, hallelujah, then I'll have no fear. Church, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that we gotta go through, leaving my trouble behind. One more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail scarred hand, holding to his nail scarred hand. Well, there's been a lot of people that talk about me since I walked this narrow way. It's just another little valley, I got victory when I pray. I've climbed a lot of high mountains, gone through a lot of little streams. When I see old Jordan cold and dark, it's gonna be the last for me. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my trouble behind. One more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. I'm going to sing that chorus again, and when we get to that part, I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, I want you to just reach up. Amen. Just spiritually, like we're grabbing a hold of the hand of the Lord. I'm going through with Jesus. It doesn't matter what we encounter down here. Doesn't matter how bad the problem is, or how the mountain is, or even how long the river is. As long as we got a hold of the hand of Jesus, how many knows that we're going to make it? Amen. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my trouble behind. One more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. Well, I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to it one more time. Well, I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. Well, there's been a lot of people talk about us since we walked this narrow way, but it's just another little valley, got victory when I pray. Lord, we've climbed a lot of high mountains, gone through a lot of little streams. But when I see old Jordan cold and dark, it's gonna be the last for me. Well, I got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving all my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. I said, I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. If you're going through with Jesus, give him praise. Hallelujah. I intend to make it through, don't you? Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he done on the cross of Calvary. My, it's so good to know that we have a home in glory. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, we just want to get into the word of the Lord. We appreciate all the prayers and concerns for this morning. We feel much better. A little weak, but thank God we feel a lot better. In the book of St. Matthew tonight, in the 14th chapter, where we want to take our lesson text, if we possibly could. Beginning with the 22nd verse in the 14th chapter, the book of St. Matthew. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, somewhere around 3 to 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this day and this opportunity, God, to come and gather with these fine folk tonight. Praying your will, God, I pray in the Spirit, Lord, will just settle and rest upon this congregation. Father, I ask that you would anoint me, anoint these lips of clay. God, is just a vessel, that you might speak to our hearts. God, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. We do remember those who are sick, many are suffering. Father, many are afflicted. We pray, God, that your healing hand would reach out to each and every one and have your will and way in our lives, and we'll be careful to praise you. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you love the Lord, let him know with a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Amen. Well, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. Tonight I want to bring a message from an old song that says, "Love lifted me." Many can relate to that tonight. Love lifted me. Love is a wonderful thing, and it's what the Bible is full of love. I was reading, and I found out the author of this particular verse or this particular song, his name was James Rowe, and he was born in England, and he migrated or immigrated to America, and he wrote this song in 1912. And he uses the text that I just read to you from the Matthew 14, 22 through verse number 31 as the origin for the song. And the first chorus says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. And you know the chorus is, love lifted me. When nothing else would help, love lifted me. And this was the origin of this particular song that he wrote. And he basically used it as a type of his conversion, or when salvation came into his life. And he likened the ship, and he likened the waters, and he likened Christ to his life when he was sinking in sin. Not a real ocean or a real sea, but a sea nevertheless, a sea that was full of sin. Knowing that he needed a change in his life, knowing that he needed a transformation in his life, and realizing that the only way out was to take hold of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how wonderful it is that we can have that analogy. Even when we were born again, we can know that we were lost without Christ, seeking in a miry clay, but he reached down and he picked us up and he lifted us up. We find here that Jesus is walking on the sea and approaches the ship. There's several things in this particular story that's very, very interesting. First of all, Jesus sends the disciples on ahead. Tells them to go on, and he disperses the multitude that he had been ministering to. Then he goes up into a mountain alone. The Bible specifies that he was alone to pray. I mean, you know, sometimes we need to just steal away and get by ourselves and really, really get in earnest with prayer with the Lord. Jesus was praying at this particular time. And then he gets up, and then he goes out, and he begins to walk on the sea, and he finds the disciples in a troublesome situation. The waves are beating against the ship. The wind is boisterous, and they're a little bit fearful, and they really are fearful when they see him walking toward the ship. And we understand that Peter saw it, and he said, if it be the Lord, if it's really you, then allow me to come out of the boat and walk to you. And Jesus said, well, come on and do it, you know, in our southern vernacular. So Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk. I want you to understand something. I want you to realize that. As long as Peter's eyes were on Jesus, as long as he watched the Lord, his faith and his trust was in the Lord Jesus. Wasn't worried about the waves at that particular time. Wasn't concerned about the boisterous wind. He wasn't even concerned that what he was doing was humanly impossible. How many knows that the Bible says that the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God? Can I get a witness or a testimony tonight? Has God ever done anything to you or for you that others said, no, that'll never happen. That's an impossibility. But how many knows that God specializes in impossibilities? But every step that he took, he began to realize and look around that this was impossible for him to do, and he began to be afraid, and his faith began to dwindle, and when it did, he began to sink. But the good thing, he was near enough to Christ to cry out to the Lord to save him, and the Lord, out of love, pure love for the Lord, for Peter, reached down and took hold of him and raised him up. Then they were able to get into the boat, and the Bible says when they got into the boat, immediately the winds ceased. I want you to understand that there's so many examples in the Bible that love lifted burdens. Love lifted us out of our sinful nature. Love has done so many things. And the Bible says that God is love. You can't separate the two. God and love is the same thing. And that is also exemplified through Jesus Christ. In fact, the greatest love that he ever could have done for any one of us is when he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary that we might be born again. But I also began to think about the other examples in the Word of God. And there are many where Christ's love was so great, so abundant, that it actually changed people's lives. Now, we know that he changed our lives, or changed the pattern for us to be born again when he shed his blood on Calvary. How many knows in Jesus' short time of ministry, countless numbers of lives were changed. Many of them are recorded in the Bible. I'm going to share a few of those with you tonight.
But there's no way that I believe that they were the disciples that were around him were able to record everything that Jesus did out of pure love. In fact, he loved us so much, that's what kept him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, amen, even when his flesh didn't want to go through the ritual or through the terrible thing of being crucified on the cross. His love for humanity was so great that he stayed there and he prayed until he got victory. And I'm so thankful for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. He loved me when I was unlovable. When he was on the cross, as the song says, I was on his mind. How many can relate to that? But tonight, I want to share with you, and maybe in a different way than what you're used to, but this is what the Lord laid on my hand, on my heart. Tonight, I want to give you some testimonials, if I possibly can, from some of the characters in the Bible that were, their lives were changed by the love of Jesus Christ. Now, can I see those hands tonight whose lives have been changed by Jesus Christ? Hopefully, it is 100%. If it's not, tonight your life can be forever changed when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. Brother Chris's message this morning alluded several times to the love of Christ, the wonderful, immaculate, abundant love that Christ has. You know, he doesn't quit loving us when we mess up. He doesn't quit loving us. He doesn't condone the things that we do. He doesn't condone the sin, but he doesn't stop loving us. And I'm so thankful that he is plenteous in redemption and he is plenteous in forgiveness. Are you thankful for that tonight? So tonight I want to come to you from this way, if I possibly can. The testimonial says, I was a blind man, blind from my mother's birth, never allowed to see the pretty skies or the things of nature or to even see the faces of my family. I was very dependent on people to direct me and direct my steps to and from different destinations. Used a cane to get around. Depended on others to maybe give me a little money for sustenance. And it had become a way of life. And then there was a stranger that came through by the name of Jesus. And I heard that he was a healer. Some even say that he is the Son of God. Others say he's a great prophet or he's a great teacher. But all I know is I want to go and meet this man called Jesus. And as I approached him, there was something about him, even though I am blind, and even though I could not see his face, and even though I could not see his physique, there was something that I felt in his presence. Compassion and love like I'd never experienced before. And I love my family and I know they love me. But as I approached, I felt an overwhelming sense of love and compassion. And then he asked me that he took to come forward and he did an extraordinary thing. He actually spit on the ground and he made spittle and he rubbed the spittle or the mud on my eyes and told me to go and wash in the pool. And when I came back, I was able to see, not so good at first, but the closer I got back to Jesus, the better I could see. And thank the Lord that love is the thing that lifted me from all of those years of blindness. And can we not see that each and every testimonial and every account that is in the Bible also is a type and shadow of the great love that lifted us out of, we may not have been physically blind, but maybe we were spiritually blind. Maybe we had kind of stumbled around in this world, not knowing our direction, not really being submissive and obedient unto God. But how many thankful that one night we felt the love of Jesus Christ. We felt his spirit. It might have been in an altar call. It may have been through a song. It may have been in the sermon. But somehow, some way, that wonderful and great love that Jesus Christ is able to shed upon each and every one of us convicted our heart, caused us to come to an altar of repentance, and forever changed our life. We might say that love lifted me. And when we say love lifted me, basically we're saying that Jesus lifted me. I was a lame man. I hobbled along, tried to get others to carry me down to the pool that was troubled by an angel at a certain season. And as I was laying by the pool, the angel would come down and trouble the waters. And I would try to make it to be first into the pool, because whosoever first was in the pool would be able to be healed for whatever disease or affliction that they had. But Brother Jim, every time that I would try to get to the pool, someone would go ahead of me. I was lying there dejected, sorrowful. Another season had gone by, and I was not able to get in there. And this had gone on for 38 years. I was in an impotent condition, totally dependent on others. But on this remarkable day, a voice that was so pleasant spoke to me, told me to take up my bed and walk. Did he not know? Did he not see my condition? Was he a total stranger? Was he being sarcastic? They didn't feel any of those things, but he did feel love, and he did feel compassion, and he felt that there was authority that came from the voice of Jesus Christ. I will assure you, when Jesus speaks to us, it is a voice of authority. And he told this lame man to do the impossible thing, to take up his bed and walk. And thank God he obeyed him, and love lifted that man of 38 years lying by a pool waiting for someone else to put him into the water. Jesus immediately spoke to him, and love lifted him from his condition. Maybe we're not blind. Maybe we're not lame. Maybe we are just not able to really put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe it is a different condition altogether. Sin is often likened to leprosy in the Bible. And there was a leper that came to Jesus as he was ministering to a multitude of people. And I can almost imagine how it was in the original social distancing, when you were not supposed to be around people if you had leprosy. In fact, you had to warn them. You had to cry out and tell them, "Do not come near. This is a leper colony, or I have leprosy." But this man needed some help. And he came down and began to walk through the multitude. And I can almost see the multitude probably dividing like the Red Sea when Moses stretched his rod out over the sea. That's the leper. He's unclean. What's he doing here? I sure hope the church is not that way today. I hope we're not so judgmental that when somebody comes in and they're steeped in sin and they may not look the part and they may not be like somebody that we think that worships the Lord, I hope that we don't part and get out of the way. I hope that we welcome them, amen, and I hope we know that God loves them just as much as he loves us. And when he came up to Jesus, you know, Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, "You can heal me if you will." And Jesus touched him, signifying that nothing is unclean that I have touched. Love, beyond all other things, was what absolutely changed that person's life. He was immediately made whole. Why? Because Jesus loved him enough. It's been so easy for Jesus to say, "You know what? Having nothing to do with you. I'm not going to touch you. The Old Testament tells me that you got to go to do this." But he loved him so very much. Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't set down certain conditions when you came to the altar? Aren't you glad that he loved you to the altar? Aren't you glad that he forgave you? Aren't you glad that he picked you up and dusted you off and picked up all the pieces of your life and put them back together for you? These are just a few of the testimonials that the Word of the Lord tells us about. Another opportunity and another time for Jesus to show his love. So far, these were three total strangers. Doesn't say in the Bible where Jesus knew any of them prior to this, but it didn't matter. Didn't matter. I'm just glad that God said, whosoever will. As I often say, that's me. Whosoever will can come to the Lord and be forgiven of your sins and have Jesus Christ come in and take his abode up into your life. But he also loved his friends. The Bible tells us that Jesus was particularly close to a family, Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Bible history tells us that oftentimes when Jesus was in their city or their community, that he would many times stop with them and maybe dine with them and maybe spend some time with them. And the Bible doesn't go into great detail, but if we read this kind of into what he's saying, they had a close and special relationship. And as time went by, Lazarus grew sick. And the sickness did not get any better. In fact, it grew worse. And the sisters were concerned, and they sent for Jesus to come and pray and heal Lazarus, that brother that you love. And you know the story. Jesus purposely did not come when he had the opportune time to come. He was not late. He was right on time. But in the time that Jesus was delayed or not there, Lazarus passed away. He died. Actually died. And was buried in the tomb. And then Jesus comes. And you know, they're weeping. And he says, you know, where is he? Where have you laid him? And Jesus walks up there. And I want you to understand, in a tomb that was sealed of a breathless, lifeless corpse or body, when Jesus spoke, I believe that Lazarus heard his name from the love that was outside that tomb. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, he raised up, breath restored to him, and he came out. He said, loose him and let him go. I'll take all the grave clothes and off and set him free. And life again was there. Maybe it's not that we're spiritually blind. Maybe it's not that we're even spiritually diseased in any way. It could be that we are in a lifeless form in a tomb of our own making. We've walled ourselves up. We've kind of discarded humanity. We're kind of just saying, you know what? There's nothing worth living for, whatever the situation is. Maybe spiritually we're lying there completely lifeless. And I want you to understand, I'm talking spiritually now. I'm not talking about the actual breath. But we're just in a state of not caring. In a state that we don't really know why we're here. We don't even know what we're here for. We just don't really see, just kind of no care attitude. And it's basically because we don't know Jesus. We've never invited him in as Lord and Savior. And that tomb or that wall had been built up around us. But Jesus sees through the walls. He sees through the stones. And he sees us and he sees you. And he speaks out of love. And when he calls your name and tells you to come forth, that is a type and shadow of the convicting word of God, of the convicting power of God that reaches through the walls and brings us to an altar of repentance. Love lifted Lazarus. Love lifted the blind man. Love lifted Peter out of the water. Love lifted so many people, changed so many lives. In fact, you tonight raised your hand and let us know that Jesus Christ has changed your life. Tonight, I want to end with this one. And finally, I think this might be the greatest testimonial of all the ones that I've shared with you tonight. It hits home to a lot of people. The forgiveness, the love, the compassion that Christ has is beyond our ability to comprehend. We just can't understand how that he can forgive even the people that pierced his side, even the soldiers that beat him, even those that nailed the nails or the spikes in his hands. He didn't say, Father, kill him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible tells us that there was some commotion going on in the street. The elders, some of the priests were there, and they had a woman. And they had already convicted her, sentenced her to death by stoning, because she was caught in the very act of a sinful nature. The Bible doesn't say that the woman was pleading for her life. It doesn't say that she was saying, I'm not guilty. In fact, I believe she knew, because she was caught in the very act. And Jesus walks up to this crowd, and in his way of love, he just begins to stoop down and begins to write in the dirt. And then he stands up. They begin to talk about the Mosaic law. They begin to talk about the terrible thing that this woman was caught in, and she needs to pay the price, and she's guilty. She's not even claiming innocence. She's guilty. She's caught in the very act, and we need to stone her right now. And Jesus says, okay. But let he who is without sin among you cast the first stone. Jesus stoops back down. He begins to write in the dirt again. The Bible tells us something amazing happened. Those that were so ready to condemn, those that were so ready to convict, those that were so ready to stone her to death begin to drop the stones and walk away, because their heart was convicted by the love of Jesus Christ when he saw into their life and saw into their heart. And he looks at the woman. He says, woman, where are thine accusers? They all left. I have no accusers. He did not condone what she did, but he loved her. He didn't agree with what her actions was, but he forgave her. And he told her, these words should ever be etched in our mind. Go and sin no more. Jesus didn't have to get involved. The Mosaic law declared that she should have been stoned. But Jesus come not to kill and destroy, but he come to speak life. He come to give second chances. I could tell you right now, I am so thankful for second chances. I'm so thankful that Christ didn't write me off the first time, amen, or the second time or the third time, but he forgave me. The love that Jesus Christ has is beyond, as I said, our ability to even comprehend or fathom how great that love is, how forgiving that love is. And that love never fails. That love is everlasting. In love, Jesus said, go and sin no more. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 35, it asks a question. Not what, but who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Maybe we're here tonight and we don't identify with those testimonials that I brought. But also the Bible says that even tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword cannot separate us from the love of God. The love of God is so great. It goes on to say, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, or no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The love that lifted us out of our sinful nature. The love that lifted us out of that depressed state of mind that we were in. That love that lifted us up and forgave us and loved us enough to die on the cross of Calvary. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've got to think that there's something about the man Jesus when he walked into a situation that people could feel something, that no ordinary person could give off that type of spiritual anointing that Christ had. And also, I feel that he can walk the aisles of this church tonight, and we can feel his love. You know, there's a song, a secular song, says what the world needs now is love, sweet love. But the only love, sweet love, that I can preach about is the love of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're holding yourself captive over things in the past that you can't get victory over, that you can't forget, that you can't forgive yourself, understand that Christ loves you so much that he wants to forgive you. We must repent. We must ask him to forgive us. We must acknowledge it and ask the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I know that you're a loving God. Please forgive me. Please make me stronger. Please help me to be a better person, a better Christian. Please help me, Lord, not to be so easily swayed by the wiles of the devil. And thank you, Lord, for lifting me up. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, somebody say, thank you, Jesus, heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. I wonder if we could ask our musicians to come back tonight, and maybe we'll sing a verse of that as we give you an opportunity to bring your trouble, bring your situation to the altar tonight. Maybe everything is completely clear between you and the Lord. Maybe there is nothing whatsoever that's giving you a problem. Thank God for that. But if there is tonight, this is an opportunity for you to really, truly realize that love will lift you out of whatever state of situation or problem that you may be facing. Amen. Would you stand with us? Let's worship the Lord as we sing this. I don't know what key. Y'all help me sing it. What key is that? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Sing, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Do the first verse again. I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Are you thankful for the love of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. If, in fact, you need prayer for your body or any situation tonight, we would not want to dismiss without giving you an opportunity to come forward. We believe in prayer. We believe in miracles. And we believe Jesus Christ loves us enough, amen, to heal us or to make a way. Is there one tonight? Hallelujah. Some of you elders gather around. Let's pray tonight. If you have a need, please come while they're coming as well. God is able.
tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that you give her peace.
Let it be a reminder of your power. God, we bring her before you right now. God, touch her. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give her God. Pray, God, that you would give her peace.
We just love and we praise you. Lord God, I just know that you minister to us all day today, dear Lord, and forevermore. Lord, we know that your healing power, dear Lord, we know that you've touched and you've released us from so many things. And Lord, we know that you release those bounds that hold us down. And Lord, we're thanking you, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All hearts and minds clear. Oh, praise God. We love each and every one of you. Thank you again for all that you do. As I said earlier today, just want to thank y'all for everything. God is great. Yes, Miss Tabitha. Tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. We're all, if you would, as we get ready to dismiss, let's all just lift our hands towards Brother Chris and pray. And that faith only that we have in the name of Jesus. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your name, dear Lord. We're praying for Brother Chris right now, dear Lord, for the doctor visit. Lord, we already know that you know the outcome, and the outcome is victory in your name, Jesus. And, Lord, we're asking for you to touch him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Lord, we ask you to strengthen him now, dear Lord, in this walk that he's in. Lord, we know he's a faithful man, dear Lord, and we know that you just ask you to reassure, to strengthen, to heal, and to touch. And, dear Lord, what a testimony that you're providing. And, Lord, you will get all the honor and all the glory. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart tonight, dear Lord, we want to thank you again for this day. Dear Lord, it's days like this that we don't want to dismiss from service, dear Lord. We just want to continue to feel your presence. Lord, we ask now that if you'll just continue to be with us as we walk through these doors, as it was ministered this morning. Not that we'll return to our old ways, but, dear Lord, that we're going to walk in faith. We know that you healed, you've touched, dear Lord, in your protection. Lord, we're praying for all the kids as they're going through their final testing in school, getting ready for this group that's getting ready to graduate. Dear Lord, I know there's just a couple of weeks left in school for each and every area district they're in. I know we're asking for your protection to be upon them. Dear Lord, be with us, dear Lord, and bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, again, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Praise God.